broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm so disappointed. I'm angry.
Political correctness can lead to some kind of
parallel. First of all, the laws on the books as relating to sending your child to
school. Sent that in Tiffany's front yard.
I hate Jews.
You left me lonely here.
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Because the nose knows where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass to another side of this spoken word format, going places most talk shows can't. A foreclosure firm in Florida is facing some serious allegations. We'll have Don Berman on from Channel 19 News to discuss that in just a moment. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. PhilHendryShow.com is the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. We appreciate your patronage. If you go over and get a backstage pass, you are watching us doing live streaming video as we do the show. You can listen to the podcast each and every day of the show. We have mini podcasts. We have a classic Phil podcast. We have downloads throughout our 3,000 plus hour archives. It's a pretty amazing feat, the Phil Hendry Show website. Become a Backstage Pass member, have access to our news feed and comments section, and a guaranteed email response from me, Phil Hendry. Plus, right now, we've got a poll going over on the news feed. If you are a Backstage Pass member, what crap can beer did your hometown produce? That's right. We have the Hall of Fame of, I can't say it's the P word. So far, we've had nominated Rainier Beer from Seattle, Brew 102 from L.A., Dawson's Beer from, I think, Rhode Island, and some beer called Narragansett or Narragansett, something gas from Maine. And we got a few others, and we will be, of course, taking nominations over there because we eventually will put this together as a Hall of Fame. We'll put up a website. We'll sell advertising to good brands of beer. I'll become rich. 877-876-PHIL. The story here, this mortgage crisis, foreclosure crisis, whatever you want to call it, is the most brazen. It's the most unbelievably brazen act or series of illegal acts I've ever seen in my life. And you know, because you've been listening to this show, I've been talking about this, I mean, going way back. I told you these guys, I told you this wasn't so much a matter of being crooked as it was just a matter of being so stupid that you got to do more stupid stuff to catch up. Now we find out that foreclosure firm owners were giving gifts to alter documents. Now this is where the criminality comes in. It isn't so much that you're doing criminal stuff, and that's what caused all of these bad loans to be made, eventually becoming these toxic assets that had to be sponged off the books or bundled up and sold to somebody else. That was just utter incompetence. And then it got so incompetent that these guys said, well, hell, I can't, you know, obviously we've done a lot of stupid stuff, and I don't want to be caught with my hand in the cookie jar, so I'm just going to close the door to the office and take the keys with me, and when this comes bouncing back, you know, I ain't home. Now, in order to clean this thing up, it looks like it's getting illegal. Some employees of Florida's largest foreclosure mill. Everything is subcontracted out, as you know, folks, everything these days. It's almost, if you got to go to the bathroom, you can find somebody, you can subcontract that out to somebody. And so it is with foreclosures. I'm a bank. I need to foreclose on some homes. I don't have the time to do all the paperwork. And yeah, I don't even want to do the paperwork because, you know, so they give it away with these foreclosure mills. And these can just simply be law offices. In one case, the law offices of David J. Stern. And this is in the fantastic state of Florida. In exchange for altering and forging key documents used to obtain foreclosures, according to a statement released today by the Florida Attorney General's office, they gave away gifts. They released transcripts of two interviews it conducted for its investigation of the law offices of David J. Stern, sworn statements from former employees of Stern, Mary R. Cordova, a former employee of G&Z, a process server. I mean, they got these cats dead to rights. They paint a picture of a secret system designed to speed up the foreclosure process. Attorneys and staff members forged signatures, changed dates, passed around notary stamps. You're screwing with people's homes. This is where people live. People have lost their jobs. They've lost their careers. They've lost whole lifestyles. Their children have been thrown out of schools. And you bastards at the law offices of David J. Stern or Bank of America or Chase or any of you other scumbags, you're passing around a rubber stamp so long as you guys don't lose your lifestyle. Isn't that what that's about? Pardon me, folks. I don't want to get off on a whole thing. I do have Don Berman hanging in, and Don, I just get very, very emotional.
No, I don't blame you at all, and I think, and this is one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. The Channel 19 News is going to be conducting a series of interviews to begin, and we're putting together a couple of other segments, and hopefully next week when we roll out our special on foreclosures, which is called A House Is Not a Home, and that starts at the 5 o'clock news on Monday on Channel 19. We're hopeful that people will give us a view and watch what we have found. This has been, as you said, Phil, a terribly traumatic time. And people in all aspects of the financial business have been working very, very hard to make sure that as many people as possible can get into homes and can find the home that they need, find the home that they want, so that these homes are not sitting empty. And these are the very same people, Phil, that worked very, very hard to try to get people in the homes in the first place. And what happened was, yes, we had a mortgage meltdown. We had people that could not afford to live in those houses. But now what we've got is a great opportunity, and there are so many people listening right now to your program. Yourself, Phil, whether it's Mr. Rance, who is your producer, I know he's looking for a vacation home in Southern California, or whoever may be listening to me right now, there are people working very, very hard, and we want to make sure that people know that while this is going on, and while there are a lot of very sad stories, yes, of people being thrown out of their houses, there are also homes that are sitting empty that need to be inhabited by people. And the banks and these legal teams, whether they are foreclosure offices or any other financial agency, they're working very, very hard to make sure that these homes are available to people.
Well, I understand that, Don, but what I was talking about mostly here is the idea that there are foreclosures going on that are illegal. In other words, what I'm saying is there's what I looked at here, and let me just bring this up. What I looked at here was a story on the foreclosures, right, going on almost rubber stamp. Okay?
That is correct. And you've got a lot of people working as hard as they can to get these houses back on the market. And to get them back on the market from obviously people who never should have owned them in the first place, they're doing that as fast as they can. And there's a lot of people who are overworked, and they are understaffed. There isn't any money to pay enough people to make sure, all right, this house is going into foreclosure. How fast can we turn it around and get it into the hands of another family? The house or the real estate people would like to do that. They're working as fast as they can.
No, but are you saying, what are you saying about this? Are you saying that these people are doing a service?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying that the people are in general doing a service, yes, but they're overworked. They are overworked. There are not enough of them out there to get as these homes back out on the market. Now, I know many of the documents have been forged. It is unfortunate. And you can certainly, I think, on a certain level, understand why. When there is so much prime property that can be made available, the foreclosure crisis is a crisis in the sense that the Chinese know crisis, Phil. If you know in the Chinese language, the word crisis is actually two words. It is two symbols in the Chinese language, Phil, crisis. It is the symbol for opportunity and danger. Isn't that beautiful? That is a far better description of what a crisis is. Opportunity and danger. And so I would like to say that this is the foreclosure opportunity as well as danger. It's dangerous, but it's an opportunity.
And all right, but here's the thing. These are homes that are being foreclosed on. They're being rubber stamped as fast as they can get them into the hands of these foreclosure mills, and then they're being put out on the market to sell. But these homes are being, people are being deprived of their homes. You understand that?
I understand people are being deprived of their homes. I also understand that people are now having an opportunity for a home. It works both ways. And what I am saying, and what our report on Monday, A House Is Not a Home, is going to detail, is the very, very hard work, even to the point of exhaustion, of many people in the financial sector, the hard work they're doing of making sure if a home is going to be foreclosed, okay, it's too bad, we are sorry, we didn't want it to happen, get out, let's get this house back up on the market, let's get it foreclosed, let's get it into the hands of a needy family, a family that needs a home, desperately needs a home.
And if they desperately need a home, how can they afford the home?
Can they afford, who can, you're talking about the family, these families that need homes?
Yes, can they afford these homes? You're talking about these families that desperately need homes. We've just blown one family out of the house. They've been foreclosed on, whether or not that foreclosure is legal or not.
I am not encouraging illegal foreclosures. Mistakes are made. People get tired. They sign the wrong name to the wrong paper. I am not forgiving that at all. Yes, of course, it is unfortunate. But the home eventually does have to be foreclosed on, and it will eventually be bought by a family that has prayed daily, together, singularly, a family that has gone, if you're Catholic, to the Stations of the Cross, if you are Protestant, you've done other things that you know that you do when you pray. If you're Jewish, you do those things. So that you may have a home for the first time in your life. For the first time in your life, you're a homeowner. And the work that these people have done has driven a great many of them to nervous exhaustion. And we're going to try to show that in our report.
Your report is going to be focusing on the numbers of homes that are being made available through foreclosures to families that want homes.
That's exactly what our report's going to be about.
All right. But your report doesn't seem to be focusing on the illegality that is going on in foreclosing those homes in the first place.
We absolutely do cover that, Phil, but it is only part of the story. It's only if mistakes are made and there is a rubber stamping here or a wrong signature there, yes. But there is incredible exhaustion. These people are out on their feet. Some of them haven't slept for days.
Well, I would suggest that they get some sleep. Hold on. I would suggest they get some sleep and get back to the office and sign those documents legally. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking to Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the foreclosure crisis. These homes are being foreclosed on as fast as they can foreclose on them because there are families out there that need these homes, that want these homes, and these foreclosure mills are doing these folks a favor. In fact, they're working themselves to nervous exhaustion so they can get these homes back up on the market and get them into the hands of families that can afford them and will pay for them. That's fine. But Don Berman and his team are not focusing on the illegal foreclosures that are going on in the first place. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here with Don Berman and the foreclosure special they're doing, A House Is Not a Home, on Channel 19 starting on Monday on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don Berman on the line with me from Channel 19 News. On Monday, they have a special on called A House Is Not a Home. This is going to be a news special concerning the foreclosure crisis. And while you and I have been talking here, Don, about the foreclosure mills, the latest story today, which I know you saw, foreclosure firm owner gave gifts for altering documents.
Well, let me address that, Phil, because we do address that in our special.
All right.
You know, you talk about giving bribes to people who are doing these foreclosures. You call them bribes, and there are those of us who might call them incentives. I'm not talking about breaking the law.
Incentives?
I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm talking about getting these homes back out onto the market. And the only way you can do that is if you hurry up and foreclose on these homes as fast as you can. Now, I think there has been a little bit too much discussion, and what our news special has found in our investigative reporting that you're going to see at the 5, 6, 7, and at the 10 and 11, following the Up With People segment with Donna DeCordova, what we have found is that, I'm going to say this as delicately as I can, I feel bad for the deadbeat family with the four children and so on and so forth. You know who else I feel bad for? I feel bad for the family that has been waiting for an affordable home, and here's a very novel thing. They can actually afford it. Huh? Phil?
Yeah. Okay, so you made so they can actually afford it. Yeah, but, you know, these other people could afford it, too.
No, they couldn't afford it.
Then why did they get the loans?
They got the loans because, there are a lot of exhausted people working in those offices.
Oh, come on, Don. There's a lot of exhausted people working in the mortgage departments of these offices when they're handing out the loans in the fat days of 2000, 2001, 99, 202, 203. A lot of exhausted people, you're telling me, because they were making so many loans to people that couldn't afford these houses. Now comes the guy who's going to foreclose, and he's exhausted because he can't foreclose these houses fast enough.
You are talking about a man, a woman, members of the financial sector who are attempting to get these houses back out on the market and out of the hands of some deadbeat that made a promise that he was going to pay on the note and decided that he wasn't going to pay on the note.
And he got that house because somebody was exhaustively trying to get him into that house.
We've got some very hardworking people, Phil, in the financial sector who have been vilified. And who have, I'm just telling you, this foreclosure, so-called foreclosure crisis, this is good news. People are working hard to get these homes out there. And yes, some of them are dropping from exhaustion.
877-876-PHIL here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News. So I'm to believe that these foreclosures are a good thing. That they are...
Yes, they are a very good thing. Homes are coming back out of the market.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. We've got John in Pasadena, California. You're on the Phil Hendry 7876-PHIL. So when you take these homes off the market after you have whatever it is you've done, either you foreclosed on them or you have kicked the people out of the house...
Yes, we've kicked them out of the house and we've made the house available to people who can afford the house, who can pay for it. It is great news, Phil. It has been an absolute boon to the economic fortunes of the American people. And I can tell you this much. If the American people to do one thing, quit crying these crocodile tears over the, I don't know what you want to call it, these deadbeats, quit crying the crocodile tears over the deadbeats and start thinking about the future. America's got a great future. And I think that's going to happen, and I think we're going to see a... So our special...
So the foreclosure thing is an absolute wonderful boon.
Absolutely. Without question. And it's only going to continue, and we're going to have these reports again. We're going to have four reports tonight, Phil, at 5, 6, 7, and 10.
All right, let's go back to this description of deadbeats. Who's a deadbeat?
Who is a deadbeat? A deadbeat is someone that signed the papers that they could afford the house. And
but the guy, they knew these people couldn't afford, right?
Well, they knew they couldn't afford it, yes. But they also knew that those people would be foreclosed on. So they never stopped working. I give a loan to a deadbeat. I know he's not going to pay on it. I automatically know I'm going to have to start getting the foreclosure paperwork going because that bum is not going to pay. So I've lent him the money, but I haven't stopped working. Now I'm going to foreclose. Now he does turn into a deadbeat bum. Now I have to, put the house back onto the market. This is a never-ending cycle, Phil.
And so what I'm getting here, Don, and it's a very interesting comment or a series of comments that you're making, what I'm getting here is that the banking industry is not at all guilty of anything.
The,
No, you say the banking industry hasn't done a thing wrong. What the banking industry has basically done is it's lent the money it shouldn't have lent. It's foreclosing on the houses. It's going to turn right around and sell those houses, and that's just where it's at.
I don't see anything that's been done wrong, no.
And foreclosure mills?
I don't. You know, if you want to call it a foreclosure mill, I say it's a bunch of people working their asses off.
877-876-PHIL. Don Berman with us on the foreclosure crisis. It's not a crisis at all. It's just a lot of people working their asses off. 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Don Berman with us on the foreclosure crisis. Foreclosure firm owner gave gifts for altering documents. Now, what you're telling me is, Don, those weren't gifts, those were incentives.
Oh, well, no, what I'm saying is...
And by the way, you're a reporter.
Let me explain here. I am a reporter. I am a reporter. And I'll always be an objective reporter. Now, I am not paid all that much money, and when any individual wants to thank me for the good job that I do, I am more than happy to take whatever gratitude that individual wants to hand to me. The fact that I got a watch or I got a paid vacation someplace has nothing whatsoever to do with the objectivity of my reporting, I can assure you, and you have my word on that.
The fact that you got a watch from one of these foreclosure mills that you were reporting on?
That has absolutely nothing to do with it. And let me tell you this. It's very interesting how people want to paint you into a corner and say that you're this or you're that because everybody's an amateur reporter. Phil, when I started out in this business, I didn't make a lot of money back then either. And if you got a free meal, if you got someone giving you a cup of coffee, I'm a reporter, and I vow to give a fair shot to the American worker. These foreclosure firms are filled with heroic American workers, and you seem to be doing your...
No, I'm just talking right now about you getting a gift from a foreclosure firm, and you're on my program right now, and I'm going to have to assume on your program later, on Monday, that you are going to be doing reporting favorable to them.
I call it as I see it. Let me tell you what. I call it as I see it. No one buys me. And you are doing your best to rip into these very, very hard American workers who are trying to foreclose these homes. It is unfortunate that people are being forced out of these homes. But you have to understand, many of them are squatting, and the sheriffs are not all cooperating. Sometimes we have to, I don't mean we, but I mean the...
See, look at that. You even made yourself a we. You said you were part of the foreclosure firm?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. That's what you have said, because I took a watch. I took a watch as a gift. And now you're going to take 30 years of hard work, and you want to throw it into the street. And I'm not going to let you do that.
All right. One of these foreclosures had to do with, you just mentioned it, a family that was in the house. You call them squatters. They were basically forced out of the house, not by police, but by individuals hired by the foreclosure firm. Did you videotape that or at all include that into your report?
What do you mean videotape? You really don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Did you video record that? Did you include a video or a filmed record of that in your report?
There was no need to. The individuals were squatting. They were forced out. That's not what this is about. This is about getting families in there.
Well, you had these families waiting on the sidewalk to get into these houses while these individuals forced them out. Were these cops?
Who? The people that were forced out?
No. Who forced these people out?
They were people that worked for the foreclosure company.
So they weren't police officers. They were what?
They were concerned citizens. Who?
Concerned citizens. Not cops, just people that walked in there and pushed those people out into the street. Is that right?
Let's not pretend, Phil. You're going to sit idly by...
No, were these police officers or were these individuals that were just like hired thugs.
You're going to sit idly by when a foreclosed home goes on the market. You're going to be the first in line for some more premium beachfront property. You're going to buy the house. You're going to help out this economy and the housing market, and that's a good thing, all thanks to a foreclosure company. And I'll tell you something else. When concerned citizens volunteer to help get squatters out of a house so that good, decent, paying Americans can go into that house and turn that home into something that is of value and force these squatters out into the rain. And
yeah, these squatters are people. The last one, they had three children. One of the kids was disabled. And
well, what were they doing with their disabled kid inside a house they didn't own anymore?
Well, they were foreclosed on. You're absolutely right.
And they were squatting, yes.
And the police refused to go in there and put those people out because the foreclosures have been a joke. And you heard what that sheriff in Chicago said.
Yeah, well, that's their opinion.
But you really just don't sound objective to me at all, man. You don't sound like an objective reporter at all.
I am an objective reporter. I looked at the story, and this is the conclusion that I came to.
After you got your free watch from the foreclosure company.
That is a slander. And
you told me you got a free watch, man.
The government asked Americans to help stimulate the economy, to help fix this housing problem. We have a group of hardworking men and women in the foreclosure company stepping up to the plate. Give them the credit they deserve. And if I get a free watch, big deal. I got a free watch. God almighty. I'm walking around with the same garbage hanging off of my wrist. Timex.
You got it from a company that you're reporting on, that you're reporting a story about, the foreclosure firm.
So what? I told them, and I'm telling you now, I was completely objective. Completely objective. So I got a watch and I got a weekend in some guy's condo.
Wow.
What's the wow?
Nothing. 877-876-PHIL. Here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show, let's go to a phone call now. The hell is with this mouse, man? Here is Nick in Maui. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the Phil Hendry show.
Oh, great. Hey, Phil, thank you. It's Nick Kilananda here from the North Shore of Maui. This guy that you're talking to, it's unbelievable what he's saying. He's like in a fantasy world. He's talking about, first of all, he's saying that people that are getting the foreclosed homes, they're getting their foreclosed homes. It's their first home that they have ever gotten. They're so excited about getting it. But a lot of the statistics hold out that many of the people, not all, but many of the people that are getting these foreclosed homes, they're investment homes. They're second, third, fourth homes. Here on Maui, they want to buy the foreclosed homes as affordable units. The other thing is that the people that are getting kicked out, that he has the audacity to call.
I'm not talking about Maui.
That people are deadbeat. Half of the people that are losing their homes, it's because they've lost their job and they can't afford the payments anymore. This guy is so full of it. It's unbelievable.
You're living on Maui and you're telling me all about the real world? You got to be kidding me.
Hey, you know
I
what?
Went out
Maui
and I
happens
did
to be part of the United States. That's how ignorant you are that you don't even know that. People in Maui, some people work $10 hour jobs, some people work two, three, four jobs. Don't
you know that Maui is part of, part of the United States the way the appendix is part of the intestine, okay? It's
See,
there,
that,
but
know,
nobody really knows what
look,
it does.
Why don't you look in the mirror? Because you're like talking the same garbage that these Tea Party extremists talk about. You're so ignorant that you talk about Maui, you don't
reporter.
Even know what you're talking about.
I'm a reporter. First of all, you sound
you're
just like that guy that did one of the
you're
voices on Topcat.
You're just talking about the party line.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the following thing. I'm saying there are hardworking families out there that need houses. They need homes. And guess what? They can afford them. Am I supposed to punish them?
And you and I agree with that. Correct. You and I
agree
with that. But I heard what you said to Phil, and the point is that they're not deadbeat getting out of home. Some of the people that are losing their homes, it's because they've lost their job. And so they cannot afford the payments.
You know, sir, can I ask you something? You're a New York Jew who moved to Maui.
Okay, that's, that is absolutely uncalled for.
Well, no, am I right or am I wrong?
Get him off your show.
No, you're not the type to be trusted.
Excuse me,
I've
been here 24 years. Where are you from?
I come from San Diego, California. How did you get to San Diego? Huh? By car? I don't know. I think I hitchhiked the first time.
No, that's how stupid you are. You didn't get to San Diego. Where did your parents or grandparents come from, you anti-Semite?
Where do you get the idea I'm as anti-Semite?
With that whole New York Jew in Maui.
As to where I come from. I live here in the United States in Maui.
Well, I find it very interesting indeed, that someone that probably had a hand in the initial kicking people out of their homes
I worked here for years as an educator, and when I could afford a house, I put down a down payment, and I have a mortgage that I pay. Again,
you've been in Maui for 24 years. You're a Hasidic Jew from Brooklyn. You're probably just on vacation.
You know something? You got a pair on you. You really got a balls on you. I'm telling you, Don.
Listen to the language on you.
The language on me? If you were here, I wouldn't blame him for clocking you, okay?
Why?
A Hasidic Jew from Brooklyn. You know what you sound like to me, Don? Some fat-ass pillhead from San Diego. That's what you sound like, an alcoholic.
Well, you're saying that because you know I had a drink.
Phil, yeah. Don, shut up. Phil, why do you give this guy any airtime?
He was talking. They're doing a report on Channel 19.
Channel 19 News.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope everybody heard that, because now they know what an anti-Semite you are.
I am an anti-Semite when I correctly identified this man as being from New York and being Jewish. And I did, didn't I? Yeah.
But it doesn't make a difference where I come from. I've been here 24 years. I've lived in Maryland. I lived in New Jersey. I've got a master's degree. I was in law school. What does it make a difference as far as the way I talk?
I just want to ask you this. There, you know as well as I do, there's no Jews in Hawaii. Everyone knows that. There isn't a temple to be found on that whole useless plot
of archipelago.
Again,
that's how ignorant you are. There's a temple on Maui, and there's a temple in Honolulu. Don, you are a complete
You're
right-wing
an idiot, Don.
Moron.
Exactly. You're a right-wing jackball, and you're the type that we have had to deal with more and more in recent years because you say this stuff, and you don't think there's anything wrong with it, do you? You don't think there's anything wrong with it, do you?
I'm supposed to know there's a you're telling me there's synagogues in Hawaii.
Excuse me, we're not talking about synagogues, we're talking about mortgage, with the situation on mortgages.
That's true, yes, but I'll tell you, spam and pork is not kosher, and that's all that Hawaiians eat. So,
Phil,
what you're telling me?
Phil,
oh my God.
Really,
all right. You know what, Nick, you made some very good points, and I don't think there's anyone with a reasonable sense that disagrees with you. There has been illegality involved in these foreclosures. There was illegality involved in the handing out of these mortgages in the first place. And Mr. Berman, all of your reporting and your report on Monday has been compromised by your anti-Semitic remarks, by the fact that you took gifts from these companies, by the fact that you took a weekend away from one of these companies. And I'm supposed to believe that you're objective?
You don't think I'm a good reporter? I identified that guy as being Jewish and that they do eat spam in Hawaii. So how can you? I don't know.
Anyway, Nick, I'll give you the last word. Go ahead.
I don't want to give him any more credibility by talking about him. I want to say, Phil, your show is new in Maui. It's on KAOI, 1110 AM. It's nice to hear it. And
thank you very much.
And some of the people that you have on the show, like that woman the other day that was the president of her...
I sniff out callers. Judaism over the phone in less than a minute. Not even Rick Sanchez can do that.
Will you shut this guy off? Thank you very much, Nick. I appreciate it. It's great to be on in Hawaii.
What happened?
Nothing happened. What were you, asleep? 877-876-PHIL. Juan Williams gets canned from NPR for comments he made about Muslims on Fox. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show coming back.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh.
I was right about the guy being Jewish and I get hung up on?
Oh, my God!
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and groundbreaking and all that. We'll be doing our news hour in just a few minutes. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard will be joining me. And our website is philhendryshow.com. Head on over there. Take a look at our video feed. Take a look at our all of the Marvy stuff that we have. And let me just go back over. As I said, we're tonight on our website, we are creating the, I don't know, if you want to call it the Rutgut Hall of Fame, you can call it that. It's a Hall of Fame for locally brewed real swill beer, locally brewed swill beer. And we have as an example, Brew 102, brewed in Los Angeles up until, I don't know when they shut down the Brew 102 facilities. Somebody has nominated Rainier Beer from Seattle. That was some real, oh, man. Dawson Beer, which was from Bedford, New Bedford, Massachusetts. And Narragansett, is that it? From Cranston, Rhode Island. Let's see what else we got here, man. And, you know, after the show, we're going to get all of this stuff up. San Francisco had a lot of them, but they had union problems before they knew what union problems were. And all but a couple are gone. But one of my favorites was Lucky. Lucky Beer is from San Francisco? Lucky Lager? No kidding. Iron City Beer in Pittsburgh, PA. Black Label. I think Black Label was more of a national beer. I don't think it was that much of a regional beer. Lone Star. Pearl. Oh, Marvin Kaplan was the voice of the guy that I thought sounded like our last caller, the guy that was in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Okay, great. 877-876-PHIL. NPR has terminated its contract with Juan Williams. Juan Williams, one of its senior news analysts, after he made comments about Muslims on the Fox News channel. These comments by Juan Williams on Monday's edition of the O'Reilly Factor resulted in him losing his NPR contract.
Political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous. Now, I remember also that when that Times Square bomber was at court, I think this is just last week, he said the war with Muslims, America's war with Muslims, is just beginning, first drop of blood. I don't think there's any way to get away from these facts.
Now, the move came after Williams, who is also a Fox News political analyst, was on the show. You heard his comments. O'Reilly had said the cold truth is that the world, in the world today, jihad, aided and abetted by some Muslim nations, is the biggest threat on the planet. NPR said in its statement that the remarks were inconsistent with our editorial standards and practices and undermined his credibility as a news analyst with NPR. How could those statements undermine his credibility as a news analyst? He's not a reporter. He's an analyst. So when he looks at news, he analyzes news, and he comes to the only thing you can do after analyzing is come to conclusions. When you report, the only thing you can do after you report is collect the facts into something that is cohesive and coherent. But when you analyze, the only thing you can come to is conclusion. So that is, if you want to call it opinion, but that's what commentators do. NPR has long operated under the guise of, number one, being something that people actually listen to, which they don't, and two, something that represents good journalism. And I think it does represent good journalism. That's probably why a lot of people don't listen to NPR. It's, you know, the old saying, where thousands work so hundreds can listen. Now, one of the reasons that NPR is not very popular is because people have lost an appreciation for good, solid, objective journalism. Objective journalism! But that ain't what Juan Williams is supposed to do. He's a news analyst. And you just fired one of the best. You just fired an honest guy. Whether I agree with him or not, it's got nothing to do with it. He's very honest. And he's very intelligent. And he does what you guys hired him to do. He analyzes the news, which is essentially analyzing events. The public radio organization said it thanked him for many years of service. Mr. Williams did not immediately respond on Wednesday night to an email seeking comment. Now, understand, this isn't like firing Rick Sanchez. Rick was in over his head from the beginning. Rick is not a commentator. He's not a news analyst. He's a nice man. He's a good reporter. He's telegenic. He's proficient as a performer on television. But he'd been at CNN about 6 years, off and on in varying capacities, and I would not say was the face of CNN. I think there's a lot of other people that are better known on CNN. Juan Williams, on the other hand, was one of the best-known reporters at NPR, one of the best-known personalities, commentators, slash reporters at NPR. So canning this man in this dramatic and abrupt fashion, the way CNN put Rick Sanchez out on the street, shows a real lack of class. Real lack of class. It shows a little bit of panic on the part of NPR. Like maybe you guys think you're going the way of CNN. Like maybe you've lost your identity. Mr. Williams' contribution on Fox raised eyebrows at NPR, naturally, because most of those people there are jealous of the fact that he actually draws a salary from Fox, which is far in excess of anything these people have made collectively over the last 50 years. In February 2009, NPR said it had asked that he stop being identified on the O'Reilly Factor as a senior correspondent for NPR, even though that title was accurate. Alicia C. Shepard, the NPR ombudswoman, said at the time that Mr. Williams was a lightning rod for the public radio organization, in part because he tends to speak one way on NPR and another on Fox. Really? Ms. Shepard said she had received 378 listener emails in 2008 listing complaints and frustrations about Mr. Williams. 378. That's almost one a day. All right, coming up, we have our news hour with Bob and with Bud. Bob Guccione, Penthouse founder, has died at the age of 79. That's pretty serious news in the world of guydom. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.